Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. As we inch closer and closer, Jeff, to the big one, it's Penn State, Michigan on Saturday. Huge matchup. In a way, this is Penn State's last chance to make this an elite season.
Yeah, and I do think there's some added significance here because of this being the last year of the four-team playoff. And I think there is just something about being one of the teams that is in that. And obviously, this is the last opportunity for Penn State to try to be part of that. So, yeah, it is a huge game. There's no question about it. There's all kinds of opportunity here. It's interesting with everything going on with Michigan right now, though. You know, I'm not really sure who truly has more pressure on them or who this feels more like a must win. And I don't think it's truly a must win for either program. But I think that, you know, obviously for Penn State to get to where it thought it could go this season, this is a game that Penn State has to win. I just think Michigan now, if it loses this game, it is certainly going to be perceived, at least by the Michigan faithful, as, hey, this is a team that wasn't able to kind of keep its focus with all of the other distractions that are now there surrounding the program.
You know what, Jeff, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this game specifically and who's ready for it and what each team has as their keys to victory. But I would like to start on where Michigan is and what's going on around that program. First, let's start with this. Just really, how serious are these allegations?
Yeah, I think so. Initially, I thought they were not that serious, but Goon Conlon has kind of changed my mind on it. Just because of the degree to which Michigan invested in this and I think went out of its way. And it is something that is clearly written out and is clearly something you're prohibited from doing. And, you know, whether or not you think it is a big deal and whether or not you think it should be something that's prohibited, again, to me, it is one of those things that it is. And Michigan, not only do I think they violated the rules here, but then you have Jim Harbaugh, who has already previously lied about a situation and said he had no knowledge. And again, now he comes out and I think very clearly lied again after getting caught with his hand in the cookie jar and cookie dough all over his face. And nope, I don't know anything about any missing cookies. It's again, almost the cover-up being as bad or worse than the crime. And the fact that this is now a pattern, and it does make you wonder what else is happening at Michigan. There may be nothing else going on. Obviously, I have no knowledge of anything. But I think now this is a consistent pattern where it's, hey, rules are made to be broken, and then we'll just deny knowing about it at all. And I think that is troubling, and I think it's why the Big Ten coaches are as adamant as they are that, listen, something has to be done here. We can't just let this go unpunished because clearly, I think it's clear that this is something that the head coach at the very least condoned or, you know, I guess maybe on some version on some planet you might be able to buy that he willfully turned a blind eye. But again, I don't think there's any doubt that Harbaugh knew exactly what was happening here.
Well, and I want to hit that whether he knew or not, but first, just to understand why it's considered such a serious violation by these opposing coaches is there is a rule against sending advanced scouts to a venue to watch a team play who you're going to play in the future. And it's even more egregious if they're there specifically looking at the signs being signaled in from the sideline. It's kind of like the Houston Astros from a couple years ago in baseball. And I think it's a good analogy. it's a tradition as long as baseball itself, stealing signs. It happens. But the way the Astros were doing it went beyond. It was using the technology and off-field people to do this. And it seems to be the same way here. And that becomes relevant in part of, and I want to ask you about this, Jeff, Michigan's defense is, well, oh yeah, look what the other teams are doing. Because apparently when Michigan played Purdue in a Big Ten championship game, just, it sounds funny, Purdue in the conference championship game, but that they got help from other teams. But the fact is, that's legal. Whether you think it should be or not, it is. And specifically what Michigan did is illegal. It's in the rule book. And the last part of this I want you to comment on is, you mentioned that you think there's no way that Jim Harbaugh didn't know, which is the claim. My feeling is, even if he's claiming he doesn't know, having had all these other issues, at what point do you use this NCAA's term of lack of institutional control? If he didn't know, he should have known, Jeff.
Yeah, and I just think at this point he's lost the benefit of the doubt, and that is just kind of where I'm at. I also just don't think it's possible for somebody to be on the sideline and having the players interact with that individual and the signals that are coming in, and the head coach doesn't know. I can buy that the head coach doesn't necessarily know everything, whether he should or not, about what's happening in the program and players and different issues that may be occurring. But the idea that somebody is doing something like this on, you know, the athletic department's dime, and the program's dime, and then is on your sideline, that is not something that I can buy. It just makes no sense that a head coach wouldn't look around and, hey, what's this guy doing on our sideline? And have somebody say, well, that's the guy that's providing the signs from the other teams. It doesn't pass the smell test to me.
Well, then, okay, now what's interesting to me is we all heard about this meeting that the Big Ten had with the coaches where Jim Harbaugh was not on this part of the call, where the coaches are talking about they should be punished for this. There's enough evidence already. What's appropriate as punishment, Jeff?
Yeah, and that's where I'm not sure. I mean, the general consensus seems to be removing Harbaugh from the sidelines again, whether or not it would be for the rest of this season, for a couple of games, whatever. That seems to be where a lot of people are falling. I really don't know, Jim, and I don't know how widespread this type of stuff is. I mean, the Big Ten coaches are certainly, I think, making it sound like this is something that is atypical, very atypical from their knowledge and experiences. But again, I obviously have no idea if this is something that, Michigan's just keeping up with the Joneses. This is what everybody does, or about half of the teams do this, or Michigan is the only team, or Michigan's one of a handful. I have no idea. And I don't know how much of an advantage. I do think there's an advantage, and especially after talking to Goon, I think more so, even if you know if it's just a run or a pass play that's coming up, right? It does give your defense an advantage here in terms of knowing how to prepare for the play and how to react to what's happening in front of you. Now, you still have to go make the stop, and I get that. But, you know, if this isn't occurring, does Michigan lose a couple more games than it had? Does Michigan still win all of the games? I mean, I have no idea. I am not a big fan. I know one of the national shows I was listening to this week was talking about, you know, should they seriously look at taking away, you know, the Big Ten title last year, or some wins were on games that they know and can prove Michigan did do this on. I'm just never a big fan, me personally, I'm just never a big fan of going back and trying to rewrite history. If you want to put asterisks next to games and say, yes, Michigan won this game, but they were doing this during a time where they were cheating, that's fine. But, I mean, the game was played. Everybody saw it, and the result was what it was. And I don't think you can definitively say one way or the other whether or not the outcome could have changed or would have changed. And I'm just never, even in situations where it's like, oh, yeah, clearly the outcome would have been different if the cheating team hadn't been cheating. The game still was played. And again, if you want to put marks by it and notes by it, that's fine. I don't like when they go back and, all right, well, we're taking this win off the books. That to me is dumb, and that is not how I would handle it.
And to add on to that, Jeff, I don't think if you go back, a year ago, Michigan celebrated the Big Ten championship, their fans celebrated. Hey, if you say right now, oh, that doesn't count, it's too late. It was already celebrated, which leads me to this idea. If you're going to punish going forward. And one of the things I read was, oh, it's not fair to punish the players for what the staff did, but the players benefited. They benefited from it. And the last thought I'll have is a year ago when Michigan whipped up Penn State, no other way to put it, our colleague T. Frank, in talking about the game, and I'm paraphrasing, said essentially Michigan's coaching staff was one step ahead of Penn State on everything. They always zigged when Penn State expected them to zag everything. And of course, as he's saying this a year ago, there was no hint of any of this. But it's in hindsight that it makes me wonder, I wonder if there was something there, Jeff.
Well, and especially now we get word that, TCU was kind of tipped off to this and they changed some things and kind of purposely threw some misdirection things in their scheme and play calling and sign signaling for Michigan. And lo and behold, TCU pulls one of the big upsets. I mean, it does at the very least make you wonder about just how much of an impact this has had.
It really does. And again, as I mentioned, the punishment thing, the retroactive punishment or the punishment next year, no bowl game, whatever, just does not seem appropriate. It's if they know what's going on now, punish them now. And just to throw out always the running joke on this kind of thing, the NCAA gets really upset with Michigan, so they're going to limit Central Michigan to no bowl games, something to that effect. Anyway, all right, Jeff, that's it for quarter one. We're going to move on to different topics come quarter two.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about this upcoming Penn State-Michigan football game. And quarter one, we talked about those stinking cheaters from Ann Arbor, Jeff. Now, let's move forward and talk about the actual game or everything surrounding it. And you alluded to this a little bit in the first quarter. Just how important is this game for James Franklin? And, I've quoted earlier on one of our shows, a national college writer who, talking about this game and making his predictions, gave some of the reasons Penn State has an advantage. They're at home. Michigan has yet to play anyone tough. But he finishes it with, but we just don't expect Penn State to win this kind of game. So he's picking Michigan. How much pressure is there on James Franklin on this game?
Well, I think it depends on how you're defining pressure, Jim, because I don't think there's pressure in terms of, oh my gosh, if he doesn't win this game, he's out of a job and he'll be trying to find something next year. So there's not that kind of pressure on James Franklin. His job is secure for the foreseeable future. But from a perception standpoint, on the national level, I do think this is a very significant game. I think that, you know, the narrative that is out there is going to be difficult if Penn State loses this game to overcome with recruits. And again, Penn State has been really good on the recruiting front, obviously. I mean, that is James Franklin's, I think most noteworthy attribute is his ability to recruit and get top level talent in. But Ohio State has consistently out-recruited Penn State, and I think there's a variety of reasons. I mean, I'm not putting that at James Franklin's feet, but I think another loss here to Michigan just kind of solidifies in the minds of many that, okay, Penn State is really good, but Ohio State and Michigan are great. And then with Washington and Oregon and USC coming in next year, it's like, okay, well, Penn State is in the upper echelon of the Big Ten, but, you know, are they a team that is going to get back to a Big Ten championship game anytime soon? And, you know, I don't know. I don't think that a loss here Saturday guarantees anything moving forward. I don't think a win Saturday guarantees anything moving forward. I mean, if Penn State wins over Michigan and Ohio State turns around and beats Michigan and goes on into the playoffs, and Penn State ends up, you know, winning another good bowl game, I don't know where the fan base is at that point. It's like, well, yeah, it's only a one-loss season. I mean, you can't be bitterly disappointed about that. But if you're not in the playoffs again, and Ohio State is again both beating you and going on to bigger and better things, right? There is that feeling that you're definitively a second or third wheel here in the conference. And again, I think Penn State could lose this game, win out, and then go on and get into the playoffs and get on a run and have great success next season. So in the moment, I do think this feels like it's everything. Penn State has to prove itself. James Franklin has to prove himself in this game. But at the end of the day, if Penn State loses a close game, falls 23-20 to Michigan, again, I don't think the sky is going to fall in. I think Penn State will continue to do well on the recruiting trail. I think Penn State will be well positioned next year to be among the contenders in the Big Ten. And if Penn State closes out with a couple of more regular season wins and gets another good bowl win, I think there will start into next season in much the same mode people were this year, that, okay, this is the year Penn State's going to be able to do it. Now they have a more experienced Aller at quarterback. They have all of the other components coming back. So in the moment, yes, I think it is a huge game in terms of what it actually means long-term to James Franklin's stature or his job status or any of that. Again, if Franklin loses this game and then Penn State turns around and goes undefeated and wins a national title next year, and then the following year Penn State wins another Big Ten title and gets into the playoffs and falls in the semifinals, then you look back the way you do at Jim Harbaugh's first 5 years at Michigan. I get it's a longer period of time here with James Franklin, but it doesn't so much matter when you win a national championship or multiple Big Ten titles. It's just that you do. My answer is it's a really big game. I don't think it's as big of a deal as I think many are going to make it out to be.
Well, Jeff, I'm going to be one of those who makes it out to be the big deal. And here's why I think that. As you alluded to, next year, if they make the playoffs, and they should because it's a 12-team playoff, and you might be able to do that with two losses. In fact, you probably will be able to. But even if they break that barrier and go 11-1 next season, they're not going to be playing both Ohio State and Michigan. So they're still not over that bubble. coming into this season, it was, you know, you have to at least split these two games with Michigan and Ohio State. So losing this one, it means they haven't done that. And next year with the 12-team playoffs, I don't know if making that playoff will make people say, forget what happened before, you know, especially if you're, you know, make it to the playoffs with two losses. But even if you make it in with one loss, like, hey, we got over that hurdle where we were 11-1. But if you lose in the first round of that playoff, will people still look at it like you haven't gotten over the hump yet? And you made a good comparison with Michigan a couple years ago. They were ready to be done with Harbaugh. He needed to get over the hump, and two games got him over the hump. Back-to-back wins against Ohio State.
Yeah,
he was able to do that. And until James Franklin does that, I think the national narrative is going to be like what I read to you earlier from a national writer. Penn State just does not win these games.
Yeah, but again, my contention, Jim, is, and it's a fair, truthfully, I mean, right now, that is a fair assessment, and certainly if Penn State loses this game to Michigan, again, to this point, that is absolutely true. Penn State is not getting over the hump against Michigan or Ohio State. My point is, and yes, so in the moment and for the next year, that perception and reality is going to be there for James Franklin and for Penn State. But if Penn State then goes out and even goes 10-2 and gets into the playoff, it's always going to be then what happens. If Penn State, again, goes out and wins the national title next year with two losses, but you get into the playoff and you get on that run and you win the national title, then, again, all is going to be forgiven. Nobody's going to go back and look and say, well, you know, James Franklin just isn't a big-time coach. Now, at some point, yes, you've got to win some of these games, and obviously winning a national title will make everything else forgiven. But again, right now, James Franklin is under, in my mind, absolutely zero pressure in terms of his job. He Penn State could collapse here, get blown out by Michigan, lose to Rutgers, and then somehow fall to Michigan State. That's not going to happen. But even if that scenario played out, I mean, James Franklin is going to be back and will be the head coach of Penn State next season. So there's not that type of pressure on him. And as long as you have that next year with the talent that Penn State continues to accumulate, there is the possibility that Penn State, again, could catch that, magic in a bottle, however you want to term it, and go out and do all of the things that the fans have been clamoring for. And so I just don't think, as important as I think this game is, and yes, that narrative at some point has to change for Penn State to take the next step, I don't know that it is truly imperative that it happen right now. I think it would be really nice for it to happen right now. I think it's important for Penn State to have it happen now, to be able to get into that Big Ten championship game and the four-team playoff in the last year that's here. I mean, all of that is a big deal and important. And again, in the moment, yes, this is going to feel like everything. Again, my point is simply that if Penn State finishes this season with two losses, again losing to Ohio State and Michigan, and wins a bowl game, this will be another good season, but yep, James Franklin can't get it done. And then if next year he goes out and gets it done, then what we thought all of these years isn't going to matter. I probably too often go back to the Bill Cowher comparison, but I mean, there were just a lot of people in Pittsburgh. They're like, Bill Cowher's never going to win the Super Bowl. He's a good coach. He's just not a great coach. And then, you know, his 13th season, I think it was, he wins the Super Bowl and now he's a great coach. If James Franklin wins a national title in the next couple of years, then again, to me, all is forgiven in these quote unquote big game scenarios.
I am typically, Jeff, very much a James Franklin supporter. What he's done, his overall record here, what he had to deal with when he first got here. And I think you're also right. He's not going anywhere as coach. He's not. And if a fan, I think if you think through the whole thing and what your alternatives are, you want James Franklin as the coach. However, you know, as the narrative goes, I don't think James Franklin, his goal is to be 10-2 and win a nice bowl game. It is about getting over the top. And you're right. And it's going to be an issue until it isn't, until he does win one of these. And the problem or the question comes up is, how many chances are you going to have at this? Remember when, you know, they won the Big Ten championship in 2016 and it was like, okay, this team has really turned the corner. They have reached that level. And when they lost those close games to Ohio State, when they had leads that they blew in the fourth quarter, I could look at it and say, you know what? That I looked at it as an individual event. But Penn State has shown they could play on the field with those teams. But at what point is it now a trend? You're going to get close, but you're not going to get over the top, Jeff.
No, it definitely is a trend. And again, I think it is a fair assessment. And I think it will be fair if Penn State does lose to Michigan to point it out again. And it will be pointed out, obviously, the record here against Ohio State and Michigan and how big of a deal that is. And yeah, you're right. James Franklin is not sitting here saying, listen, you guys should be satisfied with 10-2. That's pretty doggone good. And we're good with that. Right. I mean, he obviously is not satisfied with that either.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, Jeff, we've taken care of the off the field stuff. Let's talk about the actual game when we come back.
Hey, guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about the big Penn State-Michigan game coming up this week. Jeff, we kind of took care of the peripheral stuff. The Michigan sign-stealing situation, the perception of James Franklin and his inability to win these big games. But let's go forward now and talk about this game itself. And I think going into the season, some of the perception was that this was one of Penn State's best chances at knocking off one of the two teams. And the feeling was Penn State maybe matches up better with Ohio State, even though that one was on the road. Here now, they've got Michigan at home. That is the great advantage. My question to you is, they had two down weeks. The offense was not good at all against Ohio State. Then the struggle with Indiana, their typical post-Ohio State hangover. It appears they reacted well. They went on the road. Played really well against Maryland. My question to you is, has this team, Penn State, turned that corner? And even more specifically, has Drew Aller turned the corner?
Jim, definitively, I will say possibly. And we will find out on
That's a very
Saturday.
Firm possible.
yep, we will find out on Saturday. It feels like yes, but... you need to see this team do it against the likes of Michigan. You know, as we talked about earlier this week, I think they checked all of the boxes you were hoping to, or at least the overwhelming majority of boxes you were hoping they could check against Maryland to get ready for Michigan. But listen, this team has to go out and do it against Michigan. And I think part of the issue here for Saturday for Penn State finding a win is just the mindset. And I think the mindset needs to be, forget all this talk about pressure, forget all this talk about this being a huge game. Let's just go out and have fun. We have a really talented football team. We have a quarterback that can throw the ball with a beautiful touch, with a lot of zip, with whatever is needed in a given circumstance, let's go let him go play. Let's let him have some fun and see what happens. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm reminded of Joe Paterno's press conferences. This is a GAME game. It's a game. It is. It's a game. Yes, it's a big one. Yes, people are going to form opinions and, my gosh, James Franklin is never going to be a big-time coach. Oh, my gosh, James Franklin did. At the end of the day, it is a game. Let the kids go out and play. Have fun with it. It's a game that they know how to play well. And I think, to me, it's just that mindset of look at this as just an opportunity, not pressure, not a game you have to go out and win, an opportunity here to go out in front of your home fans and show the ability you have against a really good football team and see what happens. But have that aggressive mentality that I think is what allowed them to do what they did against Maryland, where it's like, yeah, you know what? We're going to go out and we're going to run our offense. We're going to run our plays, and you try to stop us. And we're going to give you a bunch of different looks and a bunch of different things to think about and see if you can stop us. And Michigan has a really good defense. Michigan may be able to do exactly that, stop them. But go out with the mentality that, yep, we're going to throw on first down. We're going to take some shots downfield. We're going to do a lot of misdirection stuff. We may throw some different personnel groupings at you. Maybe you have Bo Prabula, Katron Allen, and Nicholas Singleton all on the field at the same time. What? Throw some different things in there and just see what Michigan does, how they react, and if you can get them on their heels a little bit. And maybe you can't. Maybe Michigan's defense is so good it doesn't matter what you throw at them. They are up to the challenge. They are dominant at the line of scrimmage, and they end up winning the game. Again, at the end of the day, it's a game. You move on. Penn State will have Rutgers next week, no matter how this game turns out. But to me, go out with the mentality that, yes, we are going to go out and try to win this game. We're not going to leave anything in the holster the way I think even James Franklin basically admitted. Yep, we left some things there on the field against Ohio State that we didn't try that maybe we should have in retrospect. Don't have that press conference after this game. If you lose it, hey, Michigan was a better team today, so be it. But don't lose it because, oh, man, yeah, we did have that package for Pavrilla. We just never tried it. Yeah, we lost, and maybe we should have tried to hit the tight end down the middle of the field on that first down play when we had the ball out near midfield. We'll never know how that would have turned out. Don't lose it because of that. Lose it because Michigan was able to match you with your best game and the all of the plays that you have that you think will work against the Wolverines. Throw them out there, roll it out there, and let's see what happens.
And I think that boils down to, Jeff, I don't like to just say they played not to lose, but you didn't have to do those extra things in the first half of the season. On the field, you know your defense was going to dominate. The only way you were going to lose those games if you were be playing a risky type of offense, making mistakes, throwing interceptions, putting the ball on the ground, just doing those kind of things, taking risks and failing at them, you know. But if you're going to be up against an Ohio State or a Michigan, you've got to play to win the game. And there is a difference. There's a different mindset to that. Now, with that said, the central figure in that is Drew Aller. I mean, he's the microcosm for this entire offense. You know, playing conservative, throwing no interceptions, and on and on and on. And, you know, the quick, easy narrative is he threw that interception against Indiana. That kind of freed him up. He comes right back, throws a game-winning touchdown deep to Lambert Smith. Then he's playing loose and easy against Maryland for the first time on the road. He completes more than 50% of his passes, looks free and easy. So the question is, has Drew Aller made his breakthrough where that conservative, cautious guy is gone now? We now have a guy who's going to come out there and try to win the game for you.
Yeah, and I think against Ohio State, Jim, right? I mean, Drew Aller just did not look like a confident quarterback at all. And I think, you know, I think, and again, we'll find out Saturday, I think Penn State's coaches learned some things about what not to do coming out of that Ohio State game. And I also think Drew Aller learned from that game and from the Indiana game, and hopefully now from the experience against Maryland. And, you know, the hope is, and what I think is the situation is, yep, you now have a really confident quarterback going up against Michigan. We know that J.J. McCarthy is a confident quarterback for the Wolverines, but now I think you have Drew Aller truly believing that, yep, I can go out and make plays too. Now, again, we'll find out. I think that's the case. We'll see if, you know, Michigan gets some pressure on him early, and, you know, if he throws a pick early against Michigan, does that confidence stay? You know, I think confidence is such a big part of sports, Jim, and I think when it is, you know, truly confidence, not cockiness, not something born of, oh, I just think I'm going to go out and win, but it's confidence, and confidence comes from, you know, working your tail off, knowing that you know what it is you can do, having confidence, not just in yourself, but your teammates. And again, it felt to me by the end of that Maryland game last week that, yep, this is a really confident quarterback in Drew Aller. And yeah, he could have a bad series. He could take a couple of sacks. He could throw an interception, and his confidence is still going to be there, is what it feels like to me. And I think that's certainly the case with J.J. McCarthy. And so, you know, I think for Penn State, it really is just about confidence that, hey, let's go out there. We know we're good. Let's go out and prove it, and don't get freaked out if there's a bad play, a bad series, either way. And just keep, you know, plugging away, keep feeling that the next play could be the play that kind of breaks the game open the other way for you. And again, I think Penn State set itself up to have that type of confidence with the performance against Maryland next week. But until you see it done against a team like Michigan, again, there's rightfully going to be some doubt about whether or not Penn State really has that type of confidence and can execute with that type of confidence.
A week ago against Maryland, Dante Cephas had his breakout game. How real is that? And then how important is that? That it's for real, Jeff.
Yeah, I think it's vitally important if Penn State is, again, going to win this game. And I do think it was a huge deal that he had that type of performance where, again, I'm going to go back to the confidence thing, but, I mean, he, I think, now rightfully should feel confident with what he can do within this offense. And, again, it's one thing to believe that you can do this. It's another to have actually gone out now and performed it. And, you know, having shown what you're able to do. And I also think he now has rightfully gained the confidence of Drew Aller. And I'm not saying Aller didn't have faith in him before, but again, definitively now, Aller knows, hey, I put the ball near Cephas. He can do some pretty amazing things. So, yeah, I think they have two receivers that they feel like they can rely on for sure. And I think they have more that they you know, believe can get the job done too. But I mean, you have two receivers now that going into this game, I think you're like, yep, these guys can make plays for me. You certainly have two tight ends that you know can go make plays for you. You have two running backs that you know can go make plays for you. I think that's a pretty good spot to be. I think for me, Jim, as always, seemingly with Michigan, the question is, and this won't be answered until Saturday, and I'm not going to have confidence in it until I see it against Michigan, can the interior of the offensive line and the interior of the defensive line hold up over four quarters? They don't have to dominate the line of scrimmage against Michigan, but they need to hold their own, and it can't be holding your own for a half, can't be holding your own for three quarters. It needs to be four quarters. You win as many battles as you lose. And I don't know if Penn State can do that against Michigan. That, to me, is the question going into this game. And, you know, how that question is answered, to me, is almost assuredly going to be the sole determinant of whether Penn State does finally get over the hump or not.
All right, Jeff, that is going to be it for quarter number three. We're going to pick this up, and I'm going to ask you about this Penn State running game and Nick Singleton, what's going on there, before we then switch sides of the ball and talk about that Penn State defense. Stay tuned for that.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking all things Penn State, Michigan coming up this weekend. And Jeff, when we finished up quarter number three, we were talking about Dante Cephas, and I thought you made a really good point. It's not just about his confidence. It's about Drew Aller's confidence in him that he could throw the ball in his direction, even if he's not wide open, and he could go make a play for you. What we had, though, you talked about everything, the check boxes, every one of them checked off for the Maryland game. I'll say except for one, and that was Nick Singleton. We saw with Catron Allen, he had perhaps his best game of the year. He was breaking lots of tackles. And Jeff, it just is still not clicking with Nick Singleton. What is going on?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure, Jim. And I think it's one of those things where you just know the talent that he has. And I think, you know, I'm okay with going to Catron Allen more often, but I don't think you certainly give up on Nicholas Singleton and what he can do for you. And I think, again, on that kickoff return last week, he showed you why he still is a really dangerous player. I do think they need to look at some things to maybe try to get him out in open space. And against Michigan's defense, that's going to be a difficult challenge. I mean, I don't think it's as simple as, hey, let's pitch it outside and then watch him make everybody miss and he'll be in the open field. But I do think, you know, maybe getting a little more misdirection and yes, getting him some quick pitches, some swing passes. And again, they've been doing that. I mean, this isn't like we're going to see something we haven't seen before, but I think you keep plugging with it with the idea that, listen, if you can get him in some space, some open field, and allow him to try to make a person miss and get some big plays, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a 70 or 80 yard touchdown. That would be fantastic if he wants to break that out this week, all for it. But, you know, if he can get 7 or 8 yards out of a play that looked like it was going to get 2 or 3, again, that can be a difference maker in a particular drive, and a particular drive could be a difference maker in the game. So I think he still has to be very much part of the equation. I don't know what exactly it is that is causing him to not put up the numbers that we were expecting him to put up at the start of the season. I don't know how much of it is the offensive line. I don't know how much of it is him, you know, not hitting the hole the way he did last year, or not seeing the holes the way he did, or any of that, or if it's just defenses, or they know when he's in there, they got to key in on him. I mean, I think all of that is probably part of the equation. I just think he's a guy that, you know, the ability he has, and I think you just don't want to give up on somebody that has that kind of ability. That being said, I do think this is a game, even if Nicholas Singleton was having a similar season to a year ago, where I would think Catron Allen is the guy you want to get some more carries anyway in this game. I just think this is going to be largely a grinded out game, and getting those 2 or 3 tough yards in key situations is going to be vital. And Allen certainly seems to be the guy that can do that right now most effectively for you.
My two quick thoughts on it, Jeff, and I'm repeating kind of some things from before, is if you remember in the Michigan game last year, the one big offensive play was when Sean Clifford pulled the ball and ran it while Michigan is focusing on the running back. There is no threat of that this year. I think that would help Nicholas Singleton. And the other thing, and I don't know the X's and O's well enough, but I will go back to remember Saquon Barkley's the first play from scrimmage, the big run against Michigan. And I'm not saying I'm the expert. We had an expert on this kind of thing analyze that play, and it was really fascinating what they did with the offensive line. Essentially, it was the four offensive linemen, if I remember correctly, going to the right as if a running play going that direction. The left tackle almost stood up like he was in pass protection mode, which forced the defensive end to take a wide rush on that side. The rest of the defense was headed the opposite direction, and Barkley cut back through a gaping hole. Again, I don't know running schemes well enough to say, oh, this is the kind of thing they should do. But to me, that was an example of the offensive coordinator scheming something to provide an opening. So hopefully there are things they could do. Now, I want to get to the other side of the ball at least a little bit. I think this defense has earned a lot of confidence from us. But a year ago, Michigan just gashed this team, Jeff. Incredible. We didn't expect to see that. What is your confidence level, first of all, with Penn State being able to stop the Michigan running game?
Yeah, it's not great, but it's also, I'm not sitting here saying it can't happen. I really, on that one, Jim, I am of the, you got to show it to me. Like, do I think Penn State's better than it was a year ago? Do I know that Penn State knows that, you know, Michigan wants to run the ball and has done so effectively, obviously, throughout the season? I mean, they've been a very balanced offense this year, but they know the running ability that they have, and they know, obviously, what they were able to do against this Penn State defense a year ago. So I think from Michigan's perspective, they go in with a ton of confidence that they can run the ball against Penn State. Do I think Penn State, you know, certainly I'm counting on Penn State faring better than it did a year ago, but how much better to me, Jim, is something I don't have a great feel for. And I think I said even back at the start of the season that, listen, Penn State could shut everybody down going into that Michigan game. I mean, completely shut them down with their run game. And I'm still going to have a doubt about whether or not you can do it against Michigan's offensive line and that running back core until you go out and do it against that Michigan offensive line and that running back core. So for me, it's, you know, I'm not making any grand predictions one way or the other. I want to see. I want to see how Penn State holds up and also schematically what they do. The one thing I will say is I am confident that Manny Diaz will provide some different wrinkles here to try to help his defense hold its own at the line of scrimmage. And I do like, obviously, the depth that Penn State has along the defensive line and with that linebacking core. And so I don't think it's necessarily that you have to, you know, go in and straight up be able to manhandle Michigan man for man along the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think Penn State can use its speed, can use its agility from a bunch of different areas. And we think of blitzing, I think, a lot, Jim, with the you know, pass blitzing. And, yeah, you get in from the corners on those passing downs. Run blitzes are going to be critical here in this game, Jim. And I think for Penn State, again, it's utilizing those linebackers and guys in the secondary to come up and be able to fill the gaps quickly. And again, take Michigan's run game and at least slow it down. I don't know that I'm expecting Penn State to stop Michigan in its tracks with its running game. But I think Penn State, you know, needs to certainly be much better than it was a year ago. And that, to me, is one of the most fascinating parts of this game is, one, how Penn State tries to do it. And then, secondly, is Penn State effective at slowing down that Michigan running attack?
This is going to be a little bit of a change. I'm probably more confident than you are, Jeff, on that side. And my thinking being, I really look at that game a year ago as the outlier, And I think it's a mistake to say, look at that game and say, okay, then that's the reality. So that's what we look for this game. It's kind of like if Penn State played Ohio State again, there's no way in the world they would go 0 for 15 on their first 15 third down attempts. And so I also am a firm believer in Manny Diaz, that and Landon Tengwall has really, you know, firmed up this belief for me in Manny Diaz. He talked about what their week was like, the defensive players, how Manny Diaz was talking to them after the Indiana game. Could you imagine what Manny Diaz is saying to these guys going into Michigan after that game a year ago, Jeff?
Well, and I am curious from a scheme standpoint. Again, I think Penn State may, at least in spots, say, listen, our speed is going to be our advantage. And I can see scenarios where Penn State throws in three, even four defensive ends and don't have a true defensive tackle out there. Now, I don't think that's going to be a game plan or a recipe for victory if you're doing that, you know, every play all throughout the game. But I think there are some spots here where, again, Penn State can do a lot of different things with this personnel group that they have. And, you know, for me, Jim, on the optimistic side of that, and again, I just need to see it. I'm not saying Penn State can't do it. I'm just not going to sit here and tell you that, yep, Penn State will do it until I see them do it. But I will say Abdul Carter in the game he had last week, again, we talk about those checking the boxes. I think that was big because it I do think fuels the confidence that he can be a big difference maker here. And he needs to be. I mean, he needs to be a guy that certainly with the run game is making a lot of plays and making them up near the line of scrimmage. Now, again, part of that is in order for him to do that, the defensive line has to be holding its own at the line to free up the linebackers to go make those plays. But, I'm with you in terms of my faith of Manny Diaz, and I am really excited to see what it is Penn State dials up here. Again, with the run blitzes as well as just the overall defensive scheme throughout the day.
And it all works better if Chop Robinson is in the lineup. And by the way, he, when practice was open to media this week, he was active at practice. All right, Jeff, it's that time. We need your prediction.
Well, there's a couple of things in play here, Jim, and I need to give you a quick history here on the Goon and Ironhead show. They make fun of me because inevitably when you remember I had a great feeling going into that Ohio State game. Inevitably, when I make a pick in these big games, the result goes the other way. So keep that in mind as I tell you, Jim, that I think Michigan wins this game. I'm trying to help these Nittany Lions out, folks. Michigan, Jim, I just don't see how Penn State can beat Michigan. So I take the Wolverines 23-20, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Okay, I find it hard to pick against the Nittany Lions. I'm saying they win 24-20. And I will also say that Jim the Gambler has won a lot of money this season by riding the Nittany Lions, okay? So that is part of my pick also. That is it for the show, Jeff. I hope everyone enjoys the game this weekend and we have something fun to talk about when we come back next week.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are